Well, today we're going to continue on the series of messages I've been giving on blessing. And last week we were talking about the way of blessing, how God wants us to be standing in those narrow paths where blessing can happen. How He doesn't want us going off the path. Now, as we've looked at blessing, I've asked you from the beginning, do you want the blessing of God? Is it really what you're after in life? To know what He wants, to desire His will, to desire His ways, to desire His blessing. Because the blessings happen in that narrow path. When we go off and we live a life apart from the paths and ways of God, we can't expect His blessing. We can't expect His favor. And we talked about how when you try to live a life of sin and try to be righteous as you navigate the waters of sin, you just keep coming up short. Because there is a way that leads to life. Blessed and happy is the man who does never walk astray. Right? He doesn't go in the paths of sinners or in the counsel of the wicked. He's going in the way of righteousness where God is. So we saw how Abraham had to leave his country, leave his family, leave his own house. We saw how he sought the blessing and was patient for it. And walked in faith, believing in God. And even when God asked him to lay down the blessing He gave him, he still believed that he could resurrect his own son. We saw that obedience is so important. That there are ways that lead to blessing and there are ways that lead to cursing. And we have a choice. And we talked about that blessing and cursing and understanding the choice that's involved in it is really a prophecy of our own lives. We can know the prophecy of our life by the choices that we make. Do you want to stay in these paths of blessing? Do you want to continue in the path with God? How is it that you can go and walk in this way? I told you one of the worst thoughts I have is to have God's blessing removed from my life. To not be with Him. To not be blessed with the Holy Spirit. It's such a fearful thought that I could be without God. And God doesn't want me to be without Him. But how is it then that I continue on with Him? There is a way that Jesus Christ gives us to stay on the true and narrow pathway with Him. And it's found in Matthew chapter 5. So let's turn there together. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, record a series of teachings that Jesus was giving as He walked upon this earth. And He begins this message, and it says in verse 1 in Matthew 5, 1, it said, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth, and He taught them. Friends, today, you are the disciples. You are the ones who have given your life to God, who have believed, who have repented, who have been baptized, who have received of the Holy Spirit. You are the ones who are the disciples and the believers today. So hear these words, because it says in verse 2, He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying here as He begins to talk to His disciples. And He says, here is how you will be blessed. I want you to look at what He's saying with a realization that this way is in direct contrast to everything you hear in the world, of how to be blessed, of how to have power, of how to inherit the earth, of how to be great. The world doesn't follow this pattern. The world follows a pattern that says, you can do it. Just this last week, we were watching a show, and somebody said, what you really need to realize is you have the power. That you have the strength. That you are everything you need to be. You already are. But there's one thing that the Bible says that changes that. In Him. Last week, the verse that just kept pouring out of me, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Just believe it. And think about how it impacts your life. Zechariah says, not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, we are outside of blessing. Without the Spirit of God, we will not stay on a narrow pathway. Without the Spirit of God, we will exit fellowship from Him. Do you understand? If we do not have the Spirit of God, as it says in Romans 8, we are not His. So when Jesus is talking about who is blessed with God and the things of God and what God is offering, this is the attitude. What He's laying out is a whole way of living that is contrary to the world, that is contrary to even what we instinctively want to do in our own flesh, the way we want to have power and dominance and rule and influence. God is saying there is a different way, a different path to power, to influence, to reign with Him. It is not the way of the world. It's easy to look at the rules of mankind, to read the books of how to become powerful, how to inherit the earth. That's not God's way. The Bible shows the way. You can do it man's way, but friend, doing things man's way will take you out of God's blessing. Now, let's look at these words a little closer here. Blessed. Who are the blessed? First, the poor in spirit. I hope you can show this to the people at home if you are having it up there so they can see with us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit? Lowly in mind, destitute of spiritual power or spiritual wealth apart from God. Needy and in need of God. Is that your heart and attitude in life? That you truly believe that apart from God, you're poor, you're destitute. Do you really believe that? Blessed are those who mourn. To mourn, to cry, to lament life without God, whether in yourself or even in the lives of others. You know, when Lamentations was written, Jeremiah was looking about at the society and he was lamenting life without God. I know you do it because you look at where we are in the United States and how we've gone so far away from the principles of righteousness upon which the country was founded. You say, where is God? It's that lamenting heart to say, guys, we're only blessed because of God. If we go against God, where are we headed? We're headed to our own destruction. Do you realize we are exiting blessing? Because we have forgotten from where our blessing comes. It came because of a humility to say, in God we trust. God, bless us as we make our laws. Bless us as we make our judgments. Bless us as we install a president and as we come before you. Bless us in these things. And it's more than just going through the motions of words. It is a heart that says, God, I don't want to be apart from you. I mourn a life away from you, God. The meek. An attitude of submission where we do not resist God, but rather welcome His teaching, influence, direction, and work in our lives. Are you saying that I want you, God, to really change me? To have your way with me? Where we really want God's influence in us? Are you satisfied with anything other than God's influence in your life? Because in order for the meek, as it says here, to inherit the earth, you've got to want God to be doing that work. See, here's the thing. How can you be given the earth and be an inheritor of the earth and have it be any good if God has not first done a work in this earth right here, your body, your life? This is the first earth that has to be changed before the planet Earth can be changed. It's this walking, talking, animated earth that needs to be changed. It needs to be in submission unto God's work. Because without that, would you want a ruler to inherit this earth? When God says, they shall live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, do you want someone who is not meek? See, that is the way of Christ. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to crave, to desire, to seek, to have the pain and longing of spiritual hunger and thirst filled and satisfied with the righteousness of God. You know, one of the great benefits of fasting is it acquaints you with that pain. To hunger, to thirst, to know what that pain is. See, sometimes the hardest thing in the spirit is we don't remain acquainted with our spiritual pain. We can kind of ignore the signs of great thirst and great hunger. The world keeps feeding us junk food and saying, this will satisfy your thirst and quench it. This will feed your hunger. And you get deceived into thinking that it's good for you. When the reality is, there is nothing that can take the place of the righteousness of God. The imputed righteousness and the righteousness of a walk together with Him in righteousness. There's no substitute for it. And the world keeps trying to be satisfied with things that can't satisfy. There's a longing and a searching in the heart of man, and what fills it is the righteousness of God. What fills it is when we look to His Son and have a righteousness imputed to us that fills the longing and takes away the shame, the guilt, the pain of conscience that's within us. That comes and replaces the desires that are in us for the things of this world and gives us the desires of God's heart. Someone, one of the little children, right, read the verse, right? It says that if you give your life to God, right? What's the verse? Who said that verse? Psalm 37? Who was that said that today? What does it say again? Beautiful. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The real desires of your heart are things that God can see that oftentimes we don't. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God knows exactly what you want and what you need in your life? That He has the ability from His place as God, the Creator, to look at you, His creation, and say, I know exactly what you want and what you need, and I know how to fill that in you. See, this is part of the fellowship that you have with Almighty God in this walk of blessing with Him. That He wants to fill that. Because He knows what we need. And again, that's why fasting is so important. It acquaints you with that hunger and the pain, you know, you get when you're so thirsty or you're so hungry. It lets you know that's how it is when I'm not feeding on God. That's what it is. And if you're fasting physically, the best thing you can do when you start to feel hungry is get down and say, God, I am so hungry. I am so thirsty. Fill me with the bread of Your presence from above and give me of Your spiritual drink. So you start to learn what truly satisfies. The things of this world, they can mask the hunger. But when you are truly hungry and you ask God to fill it, you will start to be filled and satisfied in a way that bread and water and wine and soda and the best foods of the world, an heirloom tomato salad with watermelon, can't even fill. It's just not going to happen. I had one recently. It was really good. But not that good. merciful. Those desiring to be merciful unto others as God has been merciful to them, with understanding and compassion, seeking life and not condemnation for others. This word only appears one other time. It's in the book of Hebrews, where it says that Jesus emptied himself so that he could be acquainted with us, to be a merciful and faithful high priest. He wanted to know us, to be acquainted with us. See, one of the things in life as we come to walk on this path, the blessing is as we maintain fellowship with God. We're maintaining a walk and fellowship with Him. Part of maintaining a walk and fellowship with Him is to be merciful unto others. Remember Jesus said, Father, when He prayed, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And then He said the one conditional thing in the whole prayer, and forgive us our sins as we forgive others. This path of blessing requires you to be merciful. You can't be in blessing without mercy. Because what did Jesus say after He had given that model prayer? He said, and know this, if you forgive the sins of others, your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins. If you do not forgive others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your sins. Remember what we read in Romans 4? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no sin, whose iniquities are covered. How are they covered? Because you yourself are willing to walk in that merciful way as God does. To remain in fellowship with Him. And it's not just about being merciful, it's having compassion. One of the most beautiful phrases in the Bible, it says, God knows we are but flesh. Where in your heart do you see the compassion for others? Do you see it evidenced in the way that you live and a mercy that God would have you have? This world counts mercy and talks about mercy and often uses the word tolerance. Friends, tolerance is not mercy. So understand and hear the word of the Lord, what it is. Mercy is not tolerance. Mercy is acknowledgement of the debt. And mercy is granted. So when someone says, please forgive me, you are there. But mercy is more than that. It's a compassion to be with someone, to walk with someone, and even forbear someone. It is not permission to walk in sin. It is an understanding of the weakness and the desire to seek their good and mercy as opposed to their condemnation. So this attitude of mercy is an attitude that both understands God's ways and understands the difficulty of the flesh. And in order to be a faithful and merciful high priest, Jesus became acquainted with this flesh. And we need to be acquainted to not be harsh on others, but understanding, desiring not to condemn, but to help them walk in righteousness. Mercy is a great part of this, and having an understanding and compassion for others. The pure in heart, innocent, blameless, without guile, deceit, or manipulation, but with a clean and genuine, honest and sincere set of desires, plans, and purposes before God. It's just pure. You're not out to manipulate. You're not out for the show. There's no hypocrisy in it. It's just that you're saying, here I am. Here I am, God. And all the plans that I want and all the ways I can scheme and manipulate life, I don't want that. I just want to be what you want me to be. My heart is open to you, to be honest before you. And all the shows that the world goes through and all the facades that are created, not interested. I want to be pure. And so the pure in heart, are, again, innocent, blameless, without guile or deceit. They're doing things because they're motivated by God. And so, again, if we come to this path of righteousness, It's so pure. It's so true. It's right. There's no law against this path. It's straight on right. That's the path God wants us to be on, the path that leads to life. Peacemakers, ones who love peace, seek to be at peace with others and promotes the peace of God and others. A peacemaker. A lover of peace. When you think about your relationships and the way that you walk in your relationships with other people, and probably for those of you who are married, your marriage is probably the closest one that this hits home to. Are you a peacemaker in it? Do you look to be at peace before God and promote peace in your marriage, at work, with your friendships? Are you thinking about what is it that promotes peace? Again, peace is not just acquiescence. Because, again, if someone is found in sin and you are walking in the righteousness, your desire is for them to have mercy, and your desire is for them to come on the path with Christ in a way of blessing and in righteousness. So when we start to talk about this characteristic of one who loves peace, do you want peace in the life of someone else? Can there be peace apart from Jesus Christ living in you? See, again, the world offers all these false ways to live and to inherit and to gain power and strength, but they do not come with peace. So when we see our lives being run amok and without peace, let's say, maybe we're working out here instead of where we need to be with God. Do you have peace in your life, even in your busyness, even in your hard work? Do you have a peace knowing where God is? And for others to be peacemakers, you are desiring to show them a way of peace and encourage them in that way of peace. How many of you, when you came to Jesus Christ, had a struggle in the flesh? About half of you? Half of you is smooth sailing, huh? Wow, that's good for you. There is a certain peace that only comes on the other side of war. And so be willing to go to war in order to have peace. There are things that have to be confronted. There are things that have to be dealt with that in our flesh we may say, no, I want it this way. We have to go to battle against that in order to have peace. And usually, again, we have this path of blessing. We're wanting to go apart from God. I think it's better this way, God. I know what you're saying, but this is what I want to do. For there to be peace, we have to defeat that old man and submit, have that spirit of meekness, right? To come back here when we're poor in spirit, when we have that pure heart, when we have that meekness, we come back into His fellowship. So be willing to go to war to obtain peace. When you find your life is not at peace, there's something amiss. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Those who are mistreated, abused, harassed, who are treated with hostility because they are walking in a righteous and godly way. You're blessed when this happens to you. Because it identifies you with Christ. Do you remember the disciples when they got in prison and they said, hey, we don't want you to talk about God. They beat them up and they sent them on their way. The disciples went rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Woo! Yeah, did you see that? He gave me a left cross for Jesus. Bam! Right? Rejoicing that, hey, God counted me worthy. When you come to this path of righteousness, realize that the world is against you being on this path. Why? Because the world is going in destructive ways, and a great enemy, a roaring lion, Satan the adversary, is looking to pull you down with it. He does not want you to be the child of God. He does not want you to be lowly in spirit. He does not want you to be meek or of a pure heart or of a righteous way. He doesn't want you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wants you out some other way. So if He can't get you through your own fleshly desires, if you have battled and war and come to Christ and said, Jesus, it is You. I have nothing in me. I submit. I will be meek before You and humble to Your ways. Show me. Because I have nothing of myself, then Satan is left with persecution. When you won't go your own self, he's got to bring it from the outside. Now this is again, when we talk about this walk of blessing in this narrow way, when you're out here with your own friends, and you're on this dangerous territory, and you're away from the paths of blessing, Satan doesn't need to be in persecution on you. Let it ride. Because who knows, maybe that persecution would actually drive you back to God. But when you have come and submitted your life to Christ and you're saying, God, I want to do it Your way. I want to be in Your way. Here come the arrows and the darts. Here come the thorns. Here comes the persecution, the criticism. And it just seems to start to pile on sometimes. And God says, you're blessed when you're here. Don't think that you're not. Don't think that you're cursed because somebody is criticizing you for obedience to God. Jesus said, if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. So don't stress about it. Don't worry about it. Know it's coming. Yes, it'll be painful. Yes, you'll probably shed tears over it. But God says, know it's coming. When you walk in the narrow path, it will come. So when you look at your life, realize when you are not in the ways of the world, you will be mistreated, abused, harassed, criticized, treated with hostility. It is the way of things, as Jesus said it would be. It also says they will revile you. They will vilify you, speak abusively of you, and criticize you and put you down for following Him. Are you prepared to be vilified? Because blessed are you if they vilify you for following Him. The disciples, a lot of martyrdom going on there. A lot of killing. Disciples through the ages have been persecuted, hated, and killed. Do not think it's not coming to a country near you. Because here's what happens. There's a way of blessing. And when people are on this blessing, they can have God's blessing. But sometimes people stop looking at God and just see their own blessing and they forget. When they forget, they start to get involved in the enticements of the world, having more of this and that to fulfill some lustful desire. They start drifting away. Now, when they come over here, they start to realize cursing. Sometimes they think the cursing is blessing. My freedom to sin. My freedom to not be responsible to God. My freedom to be away from... There is no God, they say. Now some, when they come to this point, realize the foolishness of the message, and they run back. They hear the calling of God, and they come back to the path of blessing. But those who don't, who are over here, will look back at those on the path of blessing and say, they're nuts. They're crazy. There is no God. Why would you be so mean and persecute people? You say you shouldn't be living in fornication. Who are you to judge? Who are you to say? And the persecution will come because of a standard of righteousness that comes from Almighty God is on a people that is shining as a light, even without saying a word. By their conduct, they are shining a light saying, no. Not here. That is the way of unrighteousness. And the way of unrighteous, just by seeing the example, feel the judgment, and say, I hate you. Who are you to judge me? When what's happening is, there's a guilt within that is churning up, that is saying, no, it's you. You're the reason I feel this way. That's why the persecution comes. That's why the hatred comes. And that's when the violence comes. Mentally, I already died in Jesus. But this is where I have to be. This is where the way of blessing is. But you don't have to be a real genius to see what's going on. The world drifts away from that. You know, first it drifts away and it says, "Ah, it's still good. Yeah, they're all right. Those are nice people. Yeah, they're messed up. What is wrong with those people? They're nuts. We got to stop them." Right? That's where it heads. Don't be deceived to think the blessing's out there. The blessing is right here with Almighty God. What Jesus is teaching us in these Beatitudes is that one who is poor in spirit, who mourns, who is meek, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, who is merciful and pure in heart and a peacemaker, and who is willing to suffer persecution for the kingdom's sake and for Jesus' sake, is one who continues to abide in fellowship with Him. Do you realize that in this place with God, as we live this way, we're not going to be moved out of it? What moves us out is when we stop being this way. What moves us out is when we walk in a different path. When we say, "No, I'm not poor in spirit. I have the power. I know who I am. I don't need some God telling me what to do." Why be meek? Why submit? I know my own mind and the way I should go. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Whose righteousness? Who says what is righteous? Who says what is pure? Who says what is true? The world will come at us with all these different things. Let me ask you, what are the things that God hates? I want you to think about Proverbs 6.
Shedding of innocent blood.
Shedding of innocent blood.
A proud look.
Lying lips or lying tongue.
Haughty eyes.
He who sows discord among brethren. Not a peacemaker.
Coward.
I'm asking you from Proverbs 6. What else? Who knows this? Come on, there's six things the Lord hates and seven are abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue.
Feet that run to shed innocent blood.
We got that. Give them to me. Come on, you guys know this. False witness who speaks lies, right? What else? Sows discord, Maria. What else? Not that you sow discord, you just gave me that answer earlier. Sorry about that.
Devises
wicked plans. Do you... When you look at the Beatitudes and what Jesus is saying here of who is blessed, these are the things God loves. And when you look at the things He hates, you realize they're the things that are contrary to the things God loves. They're in contradiction. They can't walk together. The Spirit of God walks this way. The lusts of the flesh walk that way. They are contrary. You can't have both. Now, what gets dangerous is, turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 for a moment. Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up here in verse 13. I told you Malachi was a good book to read. How many of you read Malachi, as I recommended a few weeks ago? Oh, you're such a good wife, honey. I still recommend it today. Guys, come on. It's not that hard. It's just a few pages of your Bible. Read Malachi. It's so important. It's a message, I tell you, to today, to our society, to the people who live here today, who keep saying, God keeps saying, "You say this," and they keep saying, "Well, how did we ever say that?" God is saying, "You say this," and people will say, "We never did that against you, God." And then God says, "Oh, yes, here's how you did it." Here's another one. Malachi 3, verse 13. God says, "Your words have been harsh against me," says the Lord. Yet you say, "Well, what have we spoken against you? You have said, 'It is useless to serve God.' What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. So now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are the ones who are exalted and raised up. They even tempt God and they go free. Denying what He says the way is. Now this is a struggle because God lets things happen. You know that whole survival of the fittest thing in mankind and the nature? Yeah. God will allow people to choose to oppress others, to abuse others, to put people down. It'll look for a time like they're being blessed. Because when you're enslaving people and making them work for your dream and for your ways, it can look that way, like the masters are being blessed. But only if you look at it in the way this world does. You realize we're here for a whisper, but there's an eternal judgment that follows. How can you compare the whisper to eternity? So when we come to this point before God and we realize that we need to be low in spirit before Him and to be meek and to be hungering and thirsting for His righteousness and coming into His presence and fellowship, there is a recognition that there is an eternal purpose being worked out here in this fleshly form on earth. And what is happening here isn't the end game. It's just a walk of testing for a time of eternity that awaits ahead for those who pursue the righteousness of God. The world doesn't see it. And He says, you're starting to call the proud blessed. You turn on the TV and you watch, who's on there? Who are the people fawning over? Is it the poor in spirit? Is it the meek? Is it the ones that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness? I want you to really think about this because here's the way society works. Right? Who are the stars today? Right? Are they thirsting for God? Are they hungering for God? But we call them the great, the blessed, because they are arrogant and they are proud and they are self-made and they do what they want and they don't go to jail and they do these things and they're treated as gods among men. And we look to them, oh, really? What is Donald Trump saying? I've got to know. Because he's got all this money, right? Warren Buffett. And people get down on their knees to hear the words of these people who show by their conduct they're not being meek and humble before God. Right. So why would we go to them for our advice in how to be blessed? Because maybe the blessing, quote unquote, that they're teaching you to have is something completely foreign to God and has no place in His kingdom. Right? What were the things that God said to the people when they're blessed? He says they're going to be comforted. They're going to be filled spiritually. They will be shown mercy. They will see the face of God. They will possess His kingdom. They are the children of God. They inherit the earth. They inherit His kingdom of peace. And there is great reward laid up for them. This is where this life lived according to these ways Jesus said that are blessed. This is where it heads for you. This is what Jesus promises. Nobody in this world can promise this except Almighty God. Do you realize these are promises that God can deliver? You can think that you have things going on in this world. But again, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? This is the real blessing, friends. This is eternal. These are the treasures that moth and rust can't corrupt. That people can't come in and robbers break in and steal from you. These are the ones that last for an eternity with God. So when you look at this path of blessing that God is bringing us to, He's saying, I want you here walking with Me. Do the things that I can bless. And you say, well, how do I begin? Be poor in spirit before Me. Realize that I am your wealth and treasure. This is what you want. Be meek, be teachable, that I can work with you and show you these paths of blessing. Come and follow me. Mourn for what's going on in the world and don't desire it. Because when you start to get enticed by the things of the world and you start not mourning and start thinking, wow, that's good. They're so proud and arrogant. Look at the way they get people to worship them and come to their concerts and pay for them. And people come to watch them play a game of ball. And they think that they're the hero of the world because they're really good at basketball or baseball or football. Do you understand how crazy that is? That somehow you're a god because you're good at sports? That is nuts. That, my friends, is insanity. That somehow because they speak, it means something. You know, you put on your internet in the morning, you go to your news page. There's always some VIP person that everybody knows who said this about Obama or about Palin. Or they have a comment that I've got to read because they've got all the insight. Friends, there is one you need to know. He is above. Make Him the one you want to be close to, that you want to listen to, that you want to hear His voice. He is the VIP that we should all be listening to. Because He has the way of blessing. And you look at this, and the proud of the world keep getting elevated before God, and God says, you speak harshly against me. You want to read what Tom Cruise said. No offense to Tom Cruise, but you want to read what all these people say. You're going after their advice. Why? Why, says the Lord God? Why? Why is it important to know their voice when my voice has already been delivered to you, who spoke to prophets and now speaks to the Son, Jesus Christ? The words have been delivered. The prophetic message is before you. Do you want to know how to be wise? Do you want to be blessed financially? Do you want to be blessed with life in God? And financially, in wisdom, and riches that don't perish? You want to inherit the earth. You want to have greater influence to help, to encourage, to show mercy, to be a blessing to others. It's already been revealed. And there is no change in the message coming, friends. There isn't a different voice that's going to give some other truth. That somehow what God said about how to be blessed was wrong. It's all there. Do you understand? Do you hear God's voice calling to you saying, walk with me? God is the God of blessing, the God of love, of mercy, of compassion and justice. And He is asking you to walk here. And friends, do you realize this is how we walk together? This is where real unity is. So many people try to make unity about doctrinal issues. And hey, there are commandments, there are doctrines. We should be submissive. But if we're being submissive to the Word, but understand more than the doctrine, go deeper to the God who spoke the Word and stand with Him. I love the attitude that is in this church, because I know you are seeking God to walk with Him. And when we talk about the Bible, you're submissive to it. That's a beautiful thing to say, here's what God says. Oh, God says that? Okay. That is a beautiful thing. But realize that it's not about us agreeing on a doctrinal point. It's about us agreeing with God. It's us in this path of blessing. This path of blessing, which is narrow, is big enough for all of us to walk side by side with God and with each other. Real unity comes from in here. So notice what God says. Blessed are the peacemakers. Right? You need to be a peacemaker. Bringing it in. What does God hate? Those who sow discord among brethren, who break it apart. Humble here, arrogant there. Pure in heart here, beguiling there. Here's the path. God is saying, walk here with me. Let's walk together with Him in a way of blessing that leads to life. We walk together. And what we do in life should be about bringing God in and acknowledging His power in us to bless us through these ways. So when you look at these things that Jesus said are blessed, I want you to think about the fact that everything He says that is blessed here is a choice you make in Him. It's not a matter of, I'm just not poor in spirit. I'm just not that meek. I'm arrogant. I don't care. Well, God does. Because God says that the lowly are near to Him in Psalms, but it says that the proud are afar off. He sees from afar off. They're out there. To whom will I look but to Him who's a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word? That's where God wants us to be. Where He can look at us and take care of us. So He goes on here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Do you want to be like that with God, where He's listening to you and He's hearing you? So many times I have thought thoughts and not even expressed the prayer when God gave me the thing I was asking for in my own heart, but didn't even want to go ask Him. He just knew. He listened, and He's blessed me in that way. It says, so a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, right here on this path of blessing. And on the day that I make them my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. The way that leads to blessing in life, to be discerned from the way that leads to cursing. Right now, it's a muddled mess. And there are so many mixed messages that you think it's humility, but it's really arrogance. Or the reliance isn't on God, first and foremost. Or where it starts there, but then it takes you off on a shoot away from Him. Blessed are these ones. It's a choice, my friends. It's a choice. To be poor in spirit, to lament at life without God, desires that take you away from Him, to not be submissive or not to be meek. It's a choice. To hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's a matter of acknowledging what's already there. To be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be a peacemaker. That's not so much a choice. But it comes when you make those choices. So do you want to be blessed? I asked you that several weeks ago when we started. Do you want to be blessed? Get into Matthew 5. Meditate on what we've talked about today. Listen to the sermon again. Think about what it means to be blessed and walk in God's way. It is right here for us to live in and to walk in with Him. That's where He wants us, that He may bless us and that we may be a blessing to others. Praise be to God. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.